Praise God. For a few moments this morning, I'd like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, our reading, and consider together, being together. I would just like to think of six togethers. And let's look at each one of them. Primarily, of course, it's being together in Christ, Jesus our Lord and our Saviour. So it's our standing in Christ. We are brought into a special personal relationship with our loving Saviour, and he is of course the Lord Jesus Christ. So we establish this first of all. It's a very special personal relationship is our standing with him, and we rejoice and give praise in this, for in this chapter that we read, it's a great exaltation of being together with him. And the first, having said that, the first one to look at is this, that we are planted together. So we are planted together with Christ. But I want to turn to Romans 6 and verse 5 before we do consider the rest of this chapter. And we read there, of course, for we have been united together in likeness of his death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we'll see this shortly in his resurrection, but first, planted together. And in this, we are to grow up together, the word says, in him. Well, what do we mean when we think of planted? We know that for a flower or any plant to grow, the seed must be planted. It has to be buried. It has to be dead in the sense that it's buried under the ground. The nutrients, the elements, everything that works together will produce that seed to grow. And as it grows, it develops into what it's meant to be. So why plant it together? Well, you see, we were dead in sin, just like that seed. That's what God's word tells us that. But because we were, in the past tense, dead in sin, alive now in Christ. This is our present standing in him. And it is to grow together with him. What do we mean, to grow together with him? How can this be? There's also another together. It means, and it's termed in the word, we are buried together. Very similar to what I've said at the beginning. So we are to grow up together in him. In him, it's with him, it's through him. Everything is to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus' death. The fact that he died to save us, resulting in our salvation. In this, Jesus identified himself. He made himself of no reputation, the word says. He humbled himself to the death of the cross. And in this, he identified himself with sinful humanity, mankind lost in sin. Although he himself was sinless, he identified himself with our condition. And that's how we were, apart from him. But now the encouragement is to dwell and think we're alive in him. For why? God's word, it said, the soul that sinneth shall die because of our parents, our first parents' sin. Sin had entered the world. That which was meant to be communion with God in that special relationship when he created man and woman was broken because of this. And because the word had been passed, there had to be a way out and a way back out of this situation. And God's Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, was the means and the means of this. For in Jesus Christ, all shall live. He paid the price for our sin. It should have been us that died there. The penalty of our sin was the death, but it was his death that gives us life. And this is the first thought in being together, planted in him, identified himself with us in our sinful condition. Then the second one is this. Ephesians 2 and verse 5 tells us that we are quickened together. Quickened. which adds to what we've been seeing. In its original meaning, it means this: to cause to live, the beginning of life. You see, without Christ, dead in sin, not alive until he enters in and we accept him, we become alive in him. He causes us to live. That's the new life that we have. It also means to make to live, and it adds to give life. He himself gives us life now, everlasting life. That's the encouragement that we have in him. And also after this, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're alive through the promise of the presence of the third person of the Godhead, that Jesus himself said when he was alive on the earth, that when he departed, he would send the Comforter. He would send the very one that is able and is able and now working in our lives in the world to encourage us, just like himself. And that's the special relationship that we have, encouraged, indwelt by the Holy Spirit in newness. Newness of life. Every day, which is a new day, we should give thanks to God. We should thank him for the very breath that he has us. Our circumstances might be adverse. There might be difficulties that we have to face. There could be situations that we might go through. But remember this, if we commit our day to him, this is his day. The life we have is in him. We can face it, we can stand it much better because of the life that we have within ourselves. And that really, to me, this chapter is of great encouragement. It gives the reason in verse 4. Just as he chose us, verse 4. But God, who was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. The mercy of God towards us. We didn't deserve it, but he gave us it. Did we deserve anything? No. But he himself has given this to us. It's God's great love for fallen humanity. The word love here in this chapter is a deep, special love. Not the love that you think in general terms. This is a spiritual love. This is the deepness of what love in God and through God and from God really is. It is a love with affection, spiritual affection for us in that special way. It's a love called out of one's own heart by the preciousness of the one loved. That's the meaning in the Greek of what this word is. And John 3:16 brings it in everyday special terms that we understand, that God loved, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, everyone, all of us that believes in him shall, look at the positiveness, have eternal, everlasting life through him. And that's the love of God towards us in our fallen state. To make us alive in him, to have the encouragement that he gives. What a marvellous position. So it's our identification with Christ. Look at his identification with us and our sinful state. Now alive in him, there's an identification with Christ in his death. In his death, he broke the power of indwelling sin. He dealt with the problem. He's annulled it. It's gone, forgotten, forgiven, forgotten, never to be remembered anymore. And our identification with him in his resurrection. This resulted in the impartation, which simply means he gives us divine life. And this is what we're going to see in the next being together. But also tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 6, two togethers. It's great, isn't it? To get two togethers in one. So let's look at the first together, right, in this verse. We are raised together. We're raised up, yes, from death, but we're raised to be with him in this newness of life. It says we are raised up to go up out of, in other words, with him. Where he is, we are. That's the thing to remember. We need not be down, he's lifted us up. If we're down, spiritually get a grip of God and be lifted up in him. Well, he does. By his Spirit, he lifts us up together. With him, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For now we live in the present, a spiritual life, well-pleasing to him. That's what it means. We're raised together to live a very spiritual life. Why? It's pleasing to him. It's not what we want to do. It's what we want to do for him. He's done it all for us. What more can we give to him? Well, we can give to him everything that we've got. He poured out here everything he had. He laid aside his majesty, everything he had for us. What does that require then from each one of us? Praise God, we're quickened. Remember that, we're quickened. It's together. We've got the Holy Spirit working in our experience. Now to live in the present, yes, a spiritual life, well pleasing to him. Well, the second one is this. Not only are we raised together, but in Ephesians 2:6, it says we are seated together. We are seated together. Our completeness is in and through him. Jesus, our Saviour, it also means and has the thought of being enthroned with him. You see, to be enthroned speaks of kingship. It speaks of a throne. It speaks of authority. It speaks of one with a right over all. And that's his right in every sense. The completeness through him. He's our Saviour. We reign with him. You see, we are sharing together because we're established now. That's what the verse is saying. We're established now in him. And for our estate and our future. You see, because while we reign with him, there's an exaltation into the heavenlies where he reigns, for that's where he is now. And we will reign, it says, with him. Praise God, we've got more than a future. We've got a hope beyond anything else in this life. If we're having a difficulty, look beyond this life to him. Yes, we're in it. Yes, he'll take us through it. Yes, trust him in it. But see beyond, he is enthroned in glory. And we will be enthroned with him. What a privilege. We shall reign with him. What a marvellous place to be. What encouragement this ought to give. That we will reign, seated together on that throne. Yes, our life finished on this, the work finished in this land. But if we stand before him and he says, well done, pleasing my good and faithful servant, that is what's required. That's all we need. And then we'll reign with him. And you know what? God's word says, forever, forever. Now, we've got a taste, a foretaste of what's to come in him. Now also, as we go on into this chapter, it also says this, the fifth one, is we are built together. Ephesians 2 and verse 22 tells us this. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So all this means that we are built upon and here established. Once our salvation, which it is established, we know that it is a gift of God by grace. Because we see this, it cannot be earned by natural means. Verses 8 and 10 of this chapter tells us that. There's no way can we earn salvation. It is impossible. Jesus Christ our Saviour did it for us in every sense. So here Paul establishes the manner in which we live. He says how we are to live, the way we are to live, in the light of being together in Christ and being quickened together by the Holy Spirit in him. How do we live? What does our life show? How do we manifest and make known the grace of God in our life? We experience it, we know it, we delight in it, but it's for a purpose. We're here as servants. We're here to serve that others will know salvation through what our lives, through what we say and what we do and how we live. We have to be an example. And this is what Paul is beginning to say. This, look, you're built together, but you're built in Christ. And you see, there's a oneness that it gives us the order to live of our behaviour, the things we do. It says here, grace saved in time past completely through faith, resulting in your salvation. This is what the Greek means. Persists through present time, not from us. It is God's gift. For of us, not of our works, because in the natural way we would boast. Isn't that what humanity does? Look at me, it's all of me. But it isn't. Can it be? If it is, we've failed. We've fallen short. We've got to give him everything due to his name for what he's done for us. Time past, yes, but time present. How we want to live. The gift of God is salvation, not from works. It goes on to add, we are his handiwork. We can think about handiwork. We can think of craftsmanship. We can think of someone that's gifted to do work, and they can work out that which gives a marvellous result because of their expertise and everything else. But if in this world you can see the greatest achievement that man can do, how much greater and greater the achievement what Christ will do. Will do. And more he'll do. But we've got to trust him that we're working together in him. It says also, in Christ his handiwork with a view to good works, yes, prepared beforehand by God. It was prepared by God what we should do. Now in the present, we do it as we trust in him. So we're all brought together as one in Christ. The rest of this chapter then talks about Jew and Gentile. It's simply this: in Paul's time, the Jew had the word of God. Sadly, they missed it. The Gentiles who hadn't were brought in through the promise of God, and we are all brought together to in him. And that's what Paul is saying. We are all one in him. But you see, for now, it means everyone. Never mind Jew or Gentile, everyone were joined together in him. Why? Through salvation. That's what brings us together. Irrespective of colour, creed, status, whatever, wherever, whatever, it doesn't matter. We're all together through grace in him. And he joins us together. It's an architectural term that he's really talking about. But you see, it's not so much the building, we'll see about that. The building really is the church. In other words, the building is the body of believers, those who trust in Jesus, wherever, whoever they may be. We believe in him. So we are the body. Christ is the head of the body. We are the body, the church, gathered together. Not the building, but we are the building, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, belonging to him. And that's what Paul is trying to bring across here. For it also adds this, and I'll just mention this. We're brought together into salvation from Pentecost. That was when the Holy Spirit was outpoured upon the believers and is in the world today, until the rapture. That is when Christ comes and we're taken out. And that's the church. We are the church. We continue to be the church. Even when we're taken out, we'll still be the church, our special bride of Christ. But this isn't our subject this morning. This just gives us a delight to realise our position of belonging to the family of God. We're precious, remember that. We're valuable beyond price to Jesus Christ. He paid that price. And so remember that. that we're special because of what he's done for us. It also says we're together a permanent dwelling place in God by his Spirit, working within us. So our very lives are to show forth and be an example to all of our godly living for Jesus. Remember that. That's our godly living for him. Others have to see in us the love of God for them. That love that he had for us has to be seen. That's our accountability. That's our responsibility. But that's our delight. For he's given us the means whereby we can do it if we trust in him. And then lastly, there's another one, in sixth. And we're just leaving Ephesians 2 for the moment. And the sixth one is, we are gathered together with him, in him. And for that, we need to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. And Paul in Thessalonians, when we read through it, is encouraging the saints, the believers, those in Christ, that Jesus is coming again, and he's coming for them. So no matter what the persecution situation, whatever arises, he's coming for them. So it says this in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brethren, that's us, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. You see, this will be a glorious occasion, and it will happen. God's word has declared it, and we've just read it, but it's future. It's very much to do with our future at his coming. There is the sure certainty of our Lord's return. He's coming back for those who love him. He's coming back for his own, the believers, the church, each one of us that trusts him. We're going to be gathered together if we're going to, well, on the second come, we're caught up, you see, together to be with him. What a marvellous place to be. It's with him. Always remember, it's in him, through him, with him. In him, everything is to do with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So this is our future. But it does say this, that first there will be lawlessness. And that's a sad situation. We know it, we see it in the world, just as then it is now, more so today. The times, the signs, the seasons, everything point to the Lord coming back again, as God's word has declared. People are crying out for help, but sadly they'll not look to the one who is their help, able to help them. And this is the only answer, is Jesus Christ, to deal with this situation. So first then, we have to be ready for our Lord's return. We've got to be ready for it. We've got to be doing what he wants us to do, to be caught up together with him. And there's a great responsibility for others. And this is for everyone that hears God's word. Together in Christ, be saved. We need to be saved to know the salvation there is in Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing of all today, to know that we are saved in Jesus Christ, that when he does come, we will be like him. We will be with him, praise God, and trust him. Whatever the situation, circumstances, we'll reign together. Now, but forever, with him. May the Lord bless his word. May the Lord minister salvation, that all of us will grasp a hold of the reality where we need to be in Christ.
Going to have one.